The Pre-Modern Era, The Age and Its Art. Part 1, Realism. The Eiffel Tower, symbol of an age of realism, symbol of an age of technology, symbol of the late 19th century. Even more than in the enlightened 18th century, men were now trying to control the world around them. And now, they have the advanced tools of science and technology with which to work. Note the cast iron gears of the enormous crane used in the construction of the Eiffel Tower, seen here. By the end of the 19th century, it was industry which produced much of what is now considered art. Mass-produced lithographs of engineering feats, such as the locomotive, are now collector's items. One of the grand ideals of the Enlightenment and of the Romantic period early in the 19th century had been the belief in progress. Progress is symbolized here by an old-fashioned man-of-war being towed to her destruction by a product of the modern age, a small black tugboat belching smoke. By the late 19th century, advances in engineering and technology were making material progress a reality. The engineer Eiffel constructed his famous tower to commemorate the great Paris Exposition of 1889, but he had earlier made his reputation as a builder of bridges. Eiffel's dramatic railroad trestle is only one of a series of iron bridges which had begun to leap across rivers and chasms during the latter part of the 18th century. And as time and technology advanced, these spans became longer and more daring. Decoration and ornament were neglected as the functionalism of the engineer began to replace the historical styles copied by the architect. Brighton Pavilion was built during the 1820s in the exotic and oriental style favored by the Romantics. But the fairyland exterior concealed a functional inner structure supported by cast iron columns. The Frenchman Labrousse designed the Library of Saint-Geneviève in Paris in the 1840s. Again, the outside is in the Romantic tradition of imitating an historical style. In this case, a 15th century Renaissance palace seen here. But inside the library, the reading room has a vaulted ceiling supported by slender iron columns and iron ceiling ribs cast into intricate designs. For another library about 10 years later, Labrousse designed a traditional neoclassic exterior. But inside, romantic Byzantine domes were made of sheet metal, a product of the new industrial age. And concealed behind the partition is the storage area for the books. This private area of the building was far from the public eye, so Labrousse was free to experiment with new forms. He could make the stacks a structural framework as bare and honest as one of Eiffel's railroad bridges. The Crystal Palace was erected outside of London in 1851. Its builder, Joseph Paxton, had made his reputation designing greenhouses. The Crystal Palace, a vast iron and glass structure, was designed to house the first World's Fair. Known as the great exhibition of the works of industry of all nations. In it were displayed the products of the Industrial Revolution. But the building itself was the best expression of the new technology. The many thousand cast iron and glass parts were manufactured in factories all over England. Thus prefabricated with interchangeable parts, the whole exhibition hall was put together in only a few weeks' time. The potentials of engineering captured the imagination of Western man in the late 19th century. The tremendous strength of iron girders made dreams of vast spaces an engineering fact. In Chicago in the 80s and 90s, a new way of building developed. It was based on the mass production of steel, a recently perfected alloy of iron. Here it is used in the ceiling girders. Steel frame skyscrapers multiplied with industrial efficiency. As man increasingly concerned himself with the technical world, the subject matter of painting moved away from these emotion-filled romantic scenes which had predominated in the first half of the century. Many artists turn their backs on subjective fantasies such as this and painted life as they actually observed it. These artists, led by Gustave Courbet, called themselves realists. Courbet and some of his contemporaries selected scenes of ordinary life favoring the poor and downtrodden classes. Men and women struggling with the practicalities of everyday life in order to survive. A political radical, Courbet felt that the smug middle class should stand with deference before the artist, in this case himself, who glorified the proletariat. A clash of artistic values soon developed, the past against the present, or the academics who preferred to emulate the past against the politically active realists. A contemporary satirized this by showing neoclassicism in mortal combat with realism. The realist rejected the romanticized past, seen here as irrelevant. Many late 19th century artists felt that if the present were an ugly age, and mankind suffered great hardships, it was the duty of art to reveal the brutal truth. It is no coincidence that this was the century of Darwin, whose law described a ruthless survival of the fittest, and of Marx, who saw life as a desperate struggle for survival. As if to give visual expression to man's struggle, backbreaking work became a predominant subject of literature and art during the late 19th century.